The desire to crucify is the way of the crowd. We can use a gang or a social set or a mob supercharged by ideology to help us feel strong. That's why crowds are always at the heart of violence wielded by rulers or religions. They marshal emotion to make us seem less alone in the face of despair or disagreement or death. The crowd is seductive. It tells us who's in and who's out, what's good and what's bad, even what's right and what's wrong. Though it promises to gather, its methodology is separation, casting out the other, silencing the minority, propping up the bully, helping frightened individuals coalesce around the power of Caesar and the temple or the church, the status of the tribe or the nation. The way of the crowd is to punish, to scapegoat, to harm. And we're the crowd, lined up along the streets of Jerusalem today, shouting, Hosanna. And we're the same set, now a mob on Good Friday, screaming, Crucify. If nothing else, Palm Sunday shows us how we can say one thing one minute and its opposite the next. And that is the way of the crowd. But the life that we long for is to live another way. And that's the way of the cross. To be human is to be torn by contradictions, our better and lesser angels fighting to hold sway. And the story of the cross speaks to all that. In looking at the crucifixion, Fleming Rutledge writes, "What we see and hear in Jesus' death is not just his solidarity with the victims of the world. It is that, but it is not only that. What we see and hear in his cry of dereliction is Jesus' identification not only with the innocent victims of this world, but also with their torturers. The way of the cross, you see, reconciles our contradictions. When Jesus says, Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing, he makes himself one not only with my pain, but with my sin. Because I myself and you yourselves and all of us ourselves are sometimes victims of others and sometimes torturers of others, and sometimes both. And when we recognize this, as Jesus says to the thief, we're not far from the kingdom. When we're honest about the contradictions of our lives and our motives in this way, we move from the way of the crowd to the way of the cross. A Quaker whom I admire very much has written, The cross is first a historical fact, and it reminds us of one of history's major contradictions. Throughout the human story, men and women have yearned for truth and goodness to touch their lives. But when this truth and goodness appears among us in human form, we're so threatened by it that we murder the one who fulfills our wish. Again and again and again. So the historical cross is also a symbol of contradiction. Its very structure suggests the oppositions of life, left and right, up and down. It symbolizes the way we are pulled between this person and that, this priority and that, this cause and that, this idea and that, between our conflicting obligations on life's horizontal plane. And the cross gives mute testimony of the way we're stretched upon the vertical dimension of life, between the demands of love of the divine and our higher angels, and the fears of our mortal flesh. To walk the way of the cross is to be impaled upon the contradictions, our contradictions, torn by tension and conflict. And yet, the way of the cross is also the way toward peace, toward the center where contradictions converge. The cross speaks of the greatest paradox of all, that to truly live, we have to die to all that separates us from each other and from our deepest selves and from God, to die to anything that draws us from compassion, from justice, from truth. A prayer pinned to the uniform of a dead soldier said it this way: I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. My unspoken prayers were answered, and I am of all people most richly blessed. To walk the way of the cross in this manner, to allow one's life to be broken open by contradiction, swallowed up by the paradox of living our life not for self but for the other, is to live in the reality of the resurrection. The cross overcomes all contradictions in symbol and in reality. The crossing point is where we are transformed. The paradox of walking the way of the cross, of letting ourselves suffer with each other, of being fully in touch with the pain of your family and our city and the world, is that this is the process which heals us. We can be afraid to recover our hearts, worry that we'll feel too much and be overwhelmed with pain. But letting our hearts be broken is the only thing that lets our souls become whole again. That's what I said to my friend John this week, as we planned a memorial service for his beloved Betsy. I told him, I wish it didn't hurt so much that your heart is broken. It's the cost of loving so deeply, and it helps me know I'm alive. This work, which begins in profound empathy with ourselves, with the many, and especially with those whose lives are wretched, leads us to become mercy, to engender justice where it's most needed, to be change. Let me be clear. Suffering unmediated or unalloyed has only one outcome, more the same. If it's left unprocessed, it may enlarge within the person who suffers, or that person may pass it on to others in a futile attempt at personal relief. We know the impact of generational trauma, of pain not embraced and processed. But followers of the way have a response to suffering, and the cross signifies that pain changes here. The way of the cross is a way of greeting pain, even honoring it, so as not to pass it on. A way which transforms pain from destructive impulse into creative power. You see, when Jesus accepted the cross, when he did not return violence for violence, that's the key. His death became a channel for the redeeming power of love. And when we accept the contradictions in our lives, when we're honest about them, we allow the same power to flow. When we give our hearts to the world and to each other, we know this, our hearts will be broken, but they are broken open to make space for a love greater than our own. Parker Palmer, that Quaker who I like, Parker Palmer writes, "With its emphasis on suffering, the way of the cross can be misunderstood. But the suffering of which Jesus spoke is not that which unwell people create for themselves. Instead, he speaks of the suffering already present in the world, which we can either ignore or identify with." You hear me? If the pain were not real, if it were not the lot of so many, the way of the cross would be pathological. But in our world where so many are hungry and homeless and hopeless, I believe it's pathological to live as if pain did not exist. So the way of the cross means letting that pain carve one's life into a channel through which the healing stream of the Spirit can flow to a self and a sister and the world. And if that spring of Spirit brings us to the cross, it also takes us beyond it. For this manner of living is finally a way of joy. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, sure, but he was also the one who said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, what dies on the cross is the illusion that fear and death are supreme. That they win, that they got us, that they have the last word, that we're doomed to exchange violence for violence. The lie that says casting out and shutting up and scapegoating holds sway. No! Justice and mercy and humility win. What lives beyond the cross is the uplifting, life-changing, world-saving power of love. Amen.